If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello there and welcome to another Eurogamer newscast, and this week we're talking about the recent people have been remaking games for years, but people have been talking about remakes specifically recently, and we're here to further that conversation, discuss the great ways that games have been remade and then some of the practices associated with that that maybe we're not as much of a fan of. Joining me as ever is Eurogamer's news team. We've got Victoria Kennedy.
Hello.
Liv Nahn.
Hello.
And I'm Tom Phillips. So we're coming to the end of 2023 now, and Game of the Year discussions are happening. We're all sort of talking about what our favorite titles were from the year, and you know, there's so many to choose from, and there's actually a couple of remakes this year that are being discussed in that sort of Game of the Year category, like caliber of titles. And Resident Evil 4 is up there, I think, with the brilliant remake that Capcom came out with earlier this year. And they may be a little bit overshone by that. The brilliant Dead Space remake as well that came out from EA and Motive Games that worked on that. These are both games that are not really too old, although I say that. they're 10, 15 years old at this point. They're still playable on current hardware, but a lot of work has gone into those. More recently this week, and what sort of prompted this discussion, is the announcement by Sony of the PlayStation 5 native version of The Last of Us Part 2, which is a remake. It's the same game. They're adding a couple of extra modes and bits. Victoria, you're our Last of Us expert. What is brand new that people are going to get? And this isn't a new version of the game with extra deleted scenes. These are sort of added on modes, right?
Well, so they are re-releasing The Last of Us Part 2 for PlayStation 5 as a native edition. Along with obviously the game itself, there's also going to be like the new survival mode. There's going to be some lost levels, I think they've called them in this, which will be, there's the boar hunt, the dance scene, and sewers, I think it's called. But then other than that, I think it is essentially just a nice pretty package of The Last of Us Part 2, which, yeah. I mean, as a The Last of Us Part 2 fan, I will be getting, but then I also already own The Last of Us Part 2, so I'm getting it for the £10 upgrade, which I know is another debate point to which people have, whether or not you should actually be paying extra for a game you already own.
And
I don't know
this
if you
is a game
to that, but
what year was it that it came out? It's like 3 years old at this point.
Yeah, so it came out a little bit before the PS5 launched. So it was like one of the last PS4 native games that released.
So what we're saying is Sony didn't know that there was a PlayStation 5 coming out in a few months, and so couldn't wait.
That was a surprise to us all.
Yeah. I get why it came out on PS4 at the time. PS4 had the big audience, the big user base, even though PS5 is just around the corner. There's still something slightly cynical to this happening now and them charging for it. If it was free, I don't think anyone would be having these sort of grumble conversations.
Slightly on the fence about the charging for this particular one. I know we can go into a bigger discussion about games more generally in a moment, but for this one, I kind of feel that for an extra, well, they said $10, I assuming that'll translate to 10 pounds sterling here or equivalent, you know, in whichever region you are, you are still getting a few bonus features. And I suppose if you imagine buying like a DLC for a game, like, you know, for example, Cyberpunk 2077 just had its Phantom Liberty DLC expansion, which you did buy. So if you then maybe rather than seeing these as like just add on to the game and see them almost as like bonus content that you would potentially buy as an expansion separately anyway, I don't think $10, pounds, whatever it is actually that big an ask. What I do find slightly odd, though, is the fact that, you know, they're boasting a lot of the fact that this is going to be a visual enhancement and things, whereas they actually released a 60fps patch. Was it last year, the year before? I can't remember exactly when it was, but they did release a patch for the PlayStation 5. So I don't think that there should be any boasting about the visual enhancements, given that that's something that you can get anyway.
Hmm. Do you think this is going to come down to a conversation around how meaningful those additions are? Because I think, you know, if you point to something like Phantom Liberty, that's a 30-hour expansion. They've hired Idris Elba. There's a whole new area of the city. That's obviously quite a meaty extra piece of content to go through, you know, like that's been produced as almost like a separate production. This feels more like DVD extras. You know, you get a couple of deleted scenes and maybe a director's commentary if you buy the movie on Blu-ray. But they're really just seen as freebies, right? You don't pay for that stuff. You're not buying a DVD specifically for the deleted scenes.
I do get that argument. I mean, this The Last of Us Part 2 edition is not going to give like a whole new story content experience at its very core. I don't know how long these extra playable sections actually will last. I mean, given I'm going to say maybe like 10, 15 minutes. I mean, if you can play through the dance sequence, I assume that's going to be more or less. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, when you put it like that. I'm not saying that I completely agree with the pricing, I should say. I'm just saying for this one, at least you are getting some extra bits with your extra tenor. The one that I think gets me more is the survival mode bit, because I'm now wondering how long has this been in the works, given that we're not having the multiplayer option. Or now that the multiplayer option has been kind of siphoned off to one side, we're not really sure what its status is at the moment.
Hmm. On ice, it sounds like. I guess to be charitable to Sony, you could at least be saying, well, they are adding this extra stuff in and they're not just charging £10 extra, because we have seen in the past that Sony is very happy to charge £10 extra for the generational upgrade.
Are you going Horizon here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was that big sort of brouhaha over which titles were going to be more expensive on PS5. And of course, you've got to look at what Xbox are doing, and, you know, an Xbox game is an Xbox game, and it can look a lot better on Xbox Series X. It can run at 4K, it can run at 60 frames per second on Series X, but be a 360 game that's just been patched over time. Doesn't have those extra features, obviously, and I think all of those games, it's a game-by-game process. Making those games look better, but the comparisons are made, obviously, that Sony has been happy to charge for upgrades or just PS5 native versions of games.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's definitely been a trend. I mean, if we think about The Last of Us, there's only two games in the series, and obviously there's that Left Behind DLC for the first game, but they've been released steadily over the last 10 years. We've had, there's been three versions of The Last of Us Part 1. There's obviously been the DLC Left Behind. We're now getting re-release of Part 2. We've had The Last of Us on PC. I assume Part 2 will eventually come to PC, given that they seem to be following the same kind of trend as they did with the original. So I do feel a little bit like, you know, The Last of Us, in the grand scheme of things, when we think about all of video game history, is not an old franchise. It's only just turned 10. And yeah, we have had however many copies of this same franchise being churned out on a fairly regular basis.
Yeah. This is sort of turning into a debate about The Last of Us, but it's an interesting it's an interesting example, because you've got the TV series going on right now, right? Mm. And they sort of have to turn what is two games and maybe a third one coming. I mean, obviously a third one coming into kind of like this constant product release cycle. And the way that they've chosen to do that is relaunching the game, remaking it, if you want to call it that, but relaunching it again and again. I'm sure the PC release of Part 2 will come, and that's the sort of the next beat on the marketing cycle to keep the games ticking over, because part three is still years away. The TV show is there to keep people interested. Are they going to keep up with the TV show in terms of game releases to avoid a Game of Thrones situation where the TV show gets ahead of the books? I can't see them doing that. So yeah, they've got a few years before season two of the show comes out, and to keep the game franchise in people's minds, this is the thing that we're getting for 2023, and maybe the PC release is 24, and then maybe we start hearing about part three in 25 and it comes out in 26. Mm. But like, the remakes are sort of a way to keep the series fresh. And if you've not paid anything to into your sort of fandom for The Last of Us this year, maybe $10, £10 is not too much to ask to sort of dip back into the game and play some of these extras. And for Sony, it keeps the franchise sort of in people's minds,
I think. And I will now pivot us away from The Last of Us for a little bit. I do think, though, that it feels too soon. And I'm saying that even as a massive The Last of Us fan, massive movie fan. Whereas when you've mentioned the fact that, you know, we've got Resident Evil 4 up for a game of the year, I was really excited by that remake because it has been that, you know, we've had that time and that removal from the original game to then be like, oh, this game's awesome. Like, I'm really looking forward to going back and seeing how they've changed it and what they've adapted. And so whilst I do have some, I wouldn't say quarrel, but while I do feel it's maybe slightly odd seeing a remake being up for a Game of the Year award rather than an original release, I also really appreciated that that was remade because it was a game that I remember from, you know, however long ago it was, and it was really fun to see Leon back in his lovely jacket and such lovely visual definition. So, you know, on that, like, I'm not against remakes is what I'm trying to say with this conversation.
Yeah.
That's like the key difference, though, because the Resident Evil 4 remake isn't just like a straightforward re-release of the game. It's like a complete reimagining of it. It's like a remake in every sense of the word. It's being remade. Yeah. Whereas like with The Last of Us Part 2 coming out on PS5, it's just the same game but with a few extra bits added in.
I suppose that's the key. They said remastered, not remake. So maybe that's like the key phrasing there.
Yeah, Resident Evil 4 was brilliant for the ways that it updated the original. It updated the script. It updated the layouts of some of the levels. It kept the things that you remember, the things that you really wanted to see in there. And it also played with expectations as well. You know, when you were expecting something to happen and it didn't. Mm. It was this really good version of a game that was a great first experience for people who had played Resident Evil 4 already, but also for people who were fans of the original. I think it really rewarded them too. And it came out full price, and I think it should absolutely be in contention for Game of the Year. I mean, it won't get it because everyone's going to vote for Baldur's Gate 3, but it deserves to be up there. And Dead Space, kind of the same. I think, you know, I sort of want to champion that a bit, partially because I really want to see a Dead Space 2 remake as well. Mm. But there were lots of changes there and improvements levels.
The sea shanty.
The sea shanty.
Well, a man.
Yeah. I mean, go back to the original Dead Space. It's night and day. Isaac obviously doesn't speak at all, and the levels have been tweaked for this new one too. It's a work of love, that game, for sure, and they did that proud. But saying that, there were conversations when that came out, should it be full price, £70? I remember headlines then of people saying, is it worth the full price then? Mm. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think there was enough time passed that I wouldn't mind buying that as a full new game for me. Anyway, And I think the fact that they did have, you know, little reimaginings, like I said, with the shanty and things, that's one that stood out in my mind, seeing that pop up online. Like, I like that. So I thought, and again, it came, it was obviously like a project of love and passion from the developers. So it didn't feel like a cash grab.
Yeah. I think another side of this that we've mentioned previously is the sort of ease of access to these games. And Resident Evil was re-released on lots of different platforms over time. Dead Space, I didn't think it was re-released after the Xbox 360 era when it originally was launched. And it becomes harder for people to play that stuff. And I think it's a good reason to remake something and do like a good ground up version of it for new hardware is to keep people having access to this stuff. Mm-hmm. I would love Dead Space to come back and let's be a new Dead Space game. I don't know what they're going to work on next, if they're going to do a Dead Space 2 or a Dead Space 4, you know, and leap from sort of having reignited interest in the franchise in general to a brand new entry next. I don't know. But you know, nothing was happening with Dead Space. It was sort of lying dormant. And I don't think sort of just re-releasing it, the original game, would have brought it back. I think it needed a big new remake to do so, to be brought back into the public eye.
What do you feel about remakes then, which then also come with a fancy new physical edition? So, like, do you feel, given that, again, going back to Naughty Dog, they're going to have the WLF edition, which is going to come with like a steelbook and the disc and all these other like bits. Do you feel that sometimes there's maybe people want to make a remake just so they can package up all this extra stuff and get people to buy it fully again? Or like, what are your thoughts on having a remake and then all the extra clobber?
I mean, that stuff is aimed at the hardcore fans who are happy to collect every bit of merch and pay $70 again for a version of a game that they already paid $70 for 3 years ago. And, you know, I spend my money on all sorts of things, and I'm not really one to judge. But of course, like,
no merchandise for things. What are you talking about?
I spent a lot of money in the Lego Black Friday sale. So I can't lecture anybody on how they spend their cash, and nor should I. But yes, it does look cynical when this stuff comes out. And of course, there's a special edition with some extra bits and pieces in it, which these companies like Sony, who own these brands, look to continue monetizing them and monetizing fans. Is it worth it? I think that's up to your personal judgment. But how I feel about it is, yes, of course, you know, you're aiming this directly at the people who are most engaged with your product, and hoping that this franchise continues to generate money for you. How do you feel about it?
Who are you asking, sorry? Liv?
Either of you guys. Are you, Victoria, as a Last of Us fan, are you just going to pay your $10, or are you going to buy the super duper version?
If someone bought the super duper version for me, I'd be very grateful. However, I don't
no
think
hints
that
for Christmas present.
Can you hear that, darling? I don't think that that's something that I'm going to buy. Like, I do have Last of Us merch, but I don't have all of it by any means. I do tend to pick and choose what I actually want. And as much as I think that there are some very nice looking things with this upgraded WLF edition, I'm also not one that's really excited about a steel case cover. So, again, if I was given it, I'd be very grateful because it is something that I adore. But also, I don't think it's something that I'm going to buy. At least not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. Never say never. I mean, you know, I don't want to commit myself. What about then? While we're just talking about new additions, I will guess back to remakes very soon. Liv, you've obviously played Baldur's Gate 3. You love Baldur's Gate 3. They are now, quite soon after releasing the game, doing this lovely fancy physical version. Do you not kind of wish they'd just done that at the start and everyone would have had the same opportunity?
Sort of no, because the stuff that's in the collector's edition, I'm not particularly that bothered about. So if it was stuff that I really, really like, would have, like merch that I really, really wanted, then I'd maybe be a bit more annoyed about it.
Mm.
But because it's kind of stuff that I'm not really too fussed, I'm like, oh, it's not really kind of things that I want to put on my shelves. So,
yeah.
Yeah. We talked about companies sort of monetizing these franchises. How do you guys feel about remakes in general as sort of a way for the industry to continue coalescing around known brands, rather than using that slot in their product schedule to release something new? Do you feel like we have so many remakes right now and it's sort of reducing the industry down to nostalgia and you know, a really small number of franchises that the industry keeps going back to the well for? I mean, I'm thinking about the big launch over the last couple of weeks, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. It's a new game, but it's got the same name as a game that came out 10 years ago. And it's also basically an expansion turned into a new game that launched last year. And could Sony be spending its production dollars on something new instead?
I mean, Sony does have an unannounced game, which Neil Druckmann is working on. And there have been reports that this remaster of Part 2 has been done by a completely new team of people in Naughty Dog. It's not what Neil Druckmann and other sort of, is it Haley Gross who's working on it? And there is, they have said that there is a new IP, and Neil Druckmann's always spoken about his unannounced game. So I think there are other things in the pipeline. But then conversely, when you actually look at this year, you know, we've spoken about how we all loved the Resi 4 remake. You've spoken about how you love the Dead Space remake. Other than Baldur's Gate 3, a lot of the games that I've really enjoyed this year have either been sequels to games like Tears of the Kingdom, the sequel to Breath of the Wild. And if you look at the GOTY nominations this year for the Game Awards, a lot of them are sequels. So what new IP has really stood out massively and become a huge runaway success other than, I mean, Baldur's Gate 3 is not a new IP. Baldur's Gate is a thing. I know it's a brand new game, but, you know, maybe developers are looking at the fact that...
it's a location from Dungeons & Dragons.
But
yeah,
my point is more like maybe developers are seeing this trend that people are returning to things that they know.
Yeah. That's, you know, my worry. I mean, every... Starfield Resident Evil 4 is... And... Yeah, I mean, Starfield is the biggest new IP launched this year, but how well it did is... a matter for debate. Resident Evil is basically an annual franchise at this point, and they are keeping it fresh by going back and doing remakes and interspersing those between new games. But I do worry that there's an oversaturation there, especially with some of the other bits and pieces they do, like that weird multiplayer thing that everyone's sort of forgotten about now, but
Reverse
trying to do, yeah.
yeah.
And
did that come out?
It did launch for a bit. I think they took it offline again.
Oh, forgot about that. But yeah, whenever you say like, do we need a new IP? I mean, yes, but also I can't think of a game or a new IP that's got me really excited other than like smaller indie games. Like, you know, we've had Cocoon from Geometric. Mm. So I don't know, maybe this is just a trend that we are going to see for a while because it is clearly working.
Well, I'll be very interested to see the sales numbers for The Last of Us Part 2 remaster. Although it'll be hard to know what they are, because I imagine most people will just go for that $10 digital upgrade option. Mm. Which is not a lot of money, but it's enough money, and for the amount of sort of work that's gone into it, it's probably going to be a profitable exercise for Sony, I would imagine.
Are there any games that you feel should be remade?
I would like a remake of the last Dragon Age game, Inquisition, because I tried to go back to it recently and it's not aged too well. And also, it's been a long time since that game came out. The gap between Dragon Age Inquisition and the upcoming fourth game, Dreadwolf, is... I mean, it must be nearly a decade. I don't have the exact numbers here. But that's a long time to do what is basically a sequel, you know, with continuing story threads. So at the very least, I'm going to need to watch like a lore recap video. But I would love to replay it. And I did try recently, and it's just a bit too like Xbox 360 era for me now.
But not Origins or 2.
Well, I would love those too. I'm just thinking, like, how much time do I have? Do I really want to play remakes of all three of these games? And 3, without delving too deep down the Dragon Age rabbit hole, like, 3 did a decent job of sort of catching people up on what had happened so far. Like, your Chappie from Dragon Age 2 is in there. Some of the characters are in there. That was my entry point into Dragon Age. That was my first Dragon Age game. So I did okay, but I would love to replay it again.
I'm just thinking, I was just mentally going through my Game Awards list there, and one of the most anticipated games for next year is also a remake. It's part of Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, not even just a remake, but the second part of a remake in a trilogy of remakes.
Rebirth,
remaking an original game that was also the seventh in this franchise, and part of many other spin-offs from that game as well. I think like Final Fantasy must be, you know, in terms of the number of games released, the most numerous in a franchise. I can't think of anything else.
Unless you go for the Call of Duties and sports releases, probably, yeah.
Yeah. Even then, I would guess there are more Final Fantasy games when you count all of the like little spin-offs, mobile games, that sort of thing. But yeah, next year we're already looking forward to another remake. Although it's interesting with that again that they're going down the things are slightly different this time around route.
Mm.
And that is a big budget full game. It's not what Sony are doing with The Last of Us.
Mm.
I think where we're going to land, or where I'm landing, is remakes are fine as long as they are meaningful and long enough after the original. To me, charging $10 for something that came out 3 years ago just for some DVD extras probably isn't worth it. But then again, you know, if they did that with Dragon Age, I would buy it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe, I was thinking just a little while ago, only because I wrote a story about it this week, is how I really want to see Simpsons Hit and Run remade. That'd be fun. Bring that back.
Yeah.
And put in those ships, planes, yeah, whatever they had. Yeah. Airships. That was it. Yeah. But that's more in my mind because I wrote about it earlier this week. But yeah, that'd be quite a cool thing to see remade. That'd be a lot of fun.
Liv, what do you want to see remade?
Gosh, I don't know. I would love a remake of this Crash Bandicoot game called Crash to Insanity, which was really weird and linear, but I have a weird affection for it. So okay. I would love to see that.
When did that weird, come out? Is it like second?
2000 and something. 2000 and maybe 5?
Okay, that's old enough that...
Yeah, it's old enough.
That would be old enough. When you say weird, is it like psychedelic style, like Wonder, or is it like just totally different from other Crash games?
It's like the first time when they sort of really started going for the kind of more over-exaggerated like characterization of everybody. But yeah, it has some fun levels in that I think like just kind of get overlooked.
Maybe now Microsoft owns Activision and Crash, they'll do a little remake and put it out on Game Pass.
That would be so weird. Play it on Game Pass.
Or they'll just put a Crash Bandicoot skin in Call of Duty. That's probably more likely.
Oh, no. They should do an emote of his dance.
They shouldn't do anything.
What's his dance, Liv?
Well, you're trying to trick me. No, that's not happening. I'm not getting up and doing it.
Wow, it's a whole body thing. It's not just like an arm movement. Not just like a dab.
No. He goes all in. There's arms, there's legs.
I think you should show us. I can't picture it at all.
No, I'm not falling for this.
If we're not getting the game remade, then can we at least get the dance remade?
Oh, that's what Fortnite's for.
Okay.
Seeing Alan Wake in Fortnite and then him dancing. I mean, I know we saw him dance in the game and I won't spoil that for people, but it's also weird to see in a game like that.
He dances in the game? What? Okay. Before you guys ask me to start doing Fortnite dances, let's wrap up. Thank you for your time. And if you've made it this far, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. It's much appreciated. We'll be back very soon with another Eurogamer newscast. In the meantime, Victoria, where can people find you on social media?
I've forgotten again. At Little Chop Shop Gal. For some reason, I was about to say at Tom Phillips EGU, and I was like, that's not me. Like, that was the first social media account I went to. I'm at Little Chop Shop Gal. And as you can see, using my social media, clearly.
Liv, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at JustCastHoly.
And I'm at Little Chop Shop Girl. Thanks for listening, watching, everyone. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.